Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. And as I continue to preach in God's hearing and in your hearing, more importantly and especially in your hearing, of hypocritical faith, of a hypocritical faith. Part 14, The Lost Souls of Black Folk in America and the Lost Souls of White Folk. Part 43. And tomorrow night, I want to read to you the hymn that goes along with this particular section. Write that down. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 783, since January the 20th, 2017, Day 1147, since January the 1st, 2016. And if you have a question about those numbers, ask my oldest son, Daniel White the 4th. I don't keep up with it. He does. But it's been a long time since we started on this journey. And I thank God for the experience and the privilege. I want to pick up reading. We have read Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 20, all the way through many times. It is an extremely powerful and fitting passage for our day and time. However, tonight I'm going to pick up reading at verse 16, where God begins to instruct the people how to get out of the mess they are in. One of the things I love about God is God can diagnose the problem very clearly and very well, but he always gives us a way to escape. He's all about the solution, and God will help you to get to the solution point. He says in verse 16, "Wash you, make you clean." Are you clean tonight? Is your soul clean, spirit, your heart, your mind? Or do you have a messy heart? A dark heart, an evil heart, a heart full of hatefulness and prejudice and racism and pride. And may God help you if you have pharaohistic style pride. May God help you if you have the pharaohistic style pride. Wash you, make you clean. He's not talking about taking a shower, even though you do need to do that. Please. Some of you think that you don't stink, but you do. And you do need to take a shower. The old saints used to say something to the effect that cleanliness is close to godliness. Please do not put on any perfume if you have not showered. Please do not put on any cologne, sir, until you have showered. So, but that's not what God is talking about. You need to get your heart clean, your mind clean, your spirit clean. your soul cleansed, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings. You want to find out where you're unclean at in your doings. What are you doing? Not how you're doing, but what are you doing? Why is it that you're not where you're supposed to be? Why is it that nobody can get a hold of you? You always have to call them back. Where have you been? What are you doing? From before mine eyes, God says, cease to do evil. It can't get any plainer than that. Cease to do evil. If you are a child of God, if you're born again, if you love Jesus, at some point you're going to get to that point where you're going to understand you need to cease doing evil. You need to cease thinking evil. You need to cease imagining evil. You need to cease plotting evil. You need to cease doing evil. Cease to do evil. Verse 17, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Make things right as best you can with all that is in you. Relieve the oppressed. Help somebody. If Jay-Z can help a family out in Arizona and he's in New York, just by hearing a news story, certainly you can help somebody. If a man can pay off everybody's school loans at a university, certainly you can do something. I called on some people the other day who want to do mission work. They want to travel and go overseas and do mission work. I said, well, you can do mission work right here. Why don't you start doing mission work right here? Plan a mission trip right here. Go down the street or go to the next city and help somebody. Do mission work right now. And then maybe God will give you an opportunity to do mission work overseas. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless. Go help some fatherless children. Are you concerned about them? Plead for the widow, the woman who has been left by her husband. Her husband has died. She has nothing. Plead for the widow. She doesn't have any money to get a lawyer to take care of certain things that need to be taken care of. Come now and let us reason together, God says, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, and that's red, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, God says, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Holy Father God, thank you for the seasons of prayer you have led us to have throughout this day. And Lord, even in the car, we prayed several times. And we thank you for the privilege of prayer, the power of prayer, and the peace that comes from prayer. And however, Lord, we want to pray sincerely, not like the hypocrites that you described in this passage. We want to come before you, if not with clean hands and clean hearts, with a desire to have clean hearts and clean hands, with a willingness to not only confess our sins and admit our sins, but to repent of our sins and to turn from our evil ways. For that's what this passage is about tonight. Grant us your grace the power of your Holy Spirit to not only hear your holy word, but to do your holy word, to cease doing evil and to start doing good, as some of us used to do. Help us to go back to those days, even now, of doing the right thing, led by your Holy Spirit, by your grace, by your might, by your power as Christians. And Lord, we pray that through that, once judgment is felt at the house of God and we have repented of our evil, Lord, that others who don't know you will see the change in our lives and will receive our witness and trust you as Savior as well. By the power of your might, by the power of your Holy Spirit, let it be done. Have it to come to pass. Thank you, Lord, for your rebuke. Thank you for your chastening hand. Continue to break us, make us, and mold us to be what you would have us to be. Save those who are lost. We pray for our technicians and everybody who is serving in this meeting tonight to not get weary in well-doing. For they shall reap if they faint not. Help them to be prayerful, sober-minded, and vigilant and watchful throughout this time of the preaching of your holy word. And Lord, help them to handle their jobs with ease as they are extending the gospel from here around the world. Hundreds of nations, we're heard in hundreds of nations, over 100 nations rather, and hundreds of cities and towns and hamlets because of the advent of the technology that you have wrought through man. It is absolutely amazing, and this is the best time in the history of the church to get the gospel out to dying and lost sinners. And I thank you for blessing us to be a small part of that. Use other ministries as well all around the world, spreading the gospel. Lord, we pray that tech companies would not persecute us, but continue to allow us to freely preach. Thus saith the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. James Campbell said, and I want you to hear him well, sin is not to be ignored nor minimized. And I'm afraid that's what we have done in the church. We have ignored sin and we are minimizing it. And that is a destruction waiting to happen. He goes on to say, sin is not to be ignored nor minimized. It is the most apparent fact in life, the darkest experience in the history of the race. It is the root of all the world's tragedies. He said, it is the root of all the world's tragedies. We have some folks who run a news agency, and Christian folks, and they choose, because so many Christians are so comfortable in their little cul-de-sacs, Christian cul-de-sacs, that they choose to run some shocking things to help shock Christians out of their little comfortable zones that they're in. And I'm glad they do it, because sin is the root of all the world's tragedies and the devil is behind it. And every now and then they'll say there's a devil loose, and then they'll run the story. They'll say pray, and then they'll run the story. They'll say the devil is a lie, and then they'll run the story. They'll say, here we go, and then they'll run the story. Why? Because sin is the root of the world's tragedies. But not only that, it is the root of the church's tragedies as well. It is that which makes conscience like a thousand swords, he says. The torture of an inward hell. The worm that doeth gnaw the soul. End of quote. Nothing will eat at your conscience, your spirit, the core of your being, your heart, your mind, your soul, like sin, especially as a Christian, if you allow sin in your life. Nothing will discombobulate you, nothing will annoy you and frustrate you like sin in your heart, in your mind, in your body, in your soul, in your spirit. God will in fact chastise you. That's the first way he chastises you, by breaking the fellowship. He does not break the relationship, but he breaks the fellowship, and it's a painful experience. So ladies and gentlemen, tonight from this passage, we are looking at the actions the Lord requires of his people, the Israelites and us, that's right, us too, in order to show that we are serious about repentance. First, he says, wash you and make you clean every morning. And then throughout the day, you need to be confessing sin and repenting and asking God to cleanse you through the precious blood of Christ afresh and new. We know he has done it once and for all. But when you mess up, when you get your feet dirty, messing around with folk, getting angry at folk, being mad at folk, being bitter at folk, lying on folk, folk lying on you, you ready to fight, jumping out your car, bootlegging a gun or a broken glass, you need to confess your sins. Yes, that's right. Sometimes, unfortunately, some Christians snap. The old saints used to say, don't make me lay down my religion on you now. They didn't know you're not supposed to lay down your religion when you want to, and then pick it up when you want to. That was the old saints used to say when somebody was getting on their last nerve. No, don't make me lay down my religion on you now. You know, we know you can't do that. But we got folk who still do it. They'll change on you. They'll snap on you. Real quick, like, very strange, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde situation. But I want you to notice the emphasis placed on the person receiving this command. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. They must take responsibility for their own evil, and therein lies the problem for us today in the church. But it's been a problem since Adam and Eve. As soon as we sin, watch this now, as soon as we sin, we know we're wrong. I had to tell somebody this morning. As soon as we sin and we know that we're wrong, we have this wicked, evil tendency inside of us to blame somebody else. We have people blaming God. We have people blaming the fact they didn't have a mother, they didn't have a father, or they were molested as a child, blaming this, that, and other. And all of that is bad. But that does not give you the excuse to sin further and to carry on the sin. Doesn't give you the excuse to kill somebody and be mad as hell at somebody, bitter and resentful at somebody, because you're living a lie, blaming somebody else. I was watching 60 Minutes. Yes, I'm one of those old 60 Minutes fans. The millennials don't know anything about 60 Minutes. They might tell you, I'll see you in 60 minutes, but they don't know nothing about 60 minutes. But they always have these wonderful, unique stories. They will always, out of the three stories, sometimes they'll knock a home run and get all three, just very interesting. But they will always have one that stands out. And last night they had one about a conductor. And he's a tough conductor, symphony conductor. I never heard of him, but he's a bad man, old man. God, and you know, like everybody else, God just kind of raises you up and brings you through stuff. How he became the conductor of the prestigious New York Philharmonic Orchestra is just a long winding road. And before he became the conductor there, he was in Dallas, Texas. And he just totally turned the program around in Dallas. So much so, that's how he got the job in New York. But people used to come to him and cry and say, you're too hard on us, and you're mean to us, And in fact, one lady came to him one time and said, I fear you. And he said, no, you don't fear me. So you're trying to blame me for your lack of practice and preparation. You fear yourself. You don't fear me. See, you know you did not prepare. And I'm not going to let you come here and mess up the orchestra because you are not ready. You don't, he said, you don't fear me, you fear yourself. Now you're trying, he said this, you're trying to blame me for your lack of preparation, and I'm not going to let you get away with that. But this is what we do. We have a blaming nation, a whining nation, a crying nation. We don't take responsibility for our mess. We always got to blame somebody else. Always pointing the finger at somebody else. When three fingers, as they say, are always pointing right back at you. You lying devil. And that does not work, especially in Texas, where I live at. I was not born in Texas, but I was trying to get here as fast as I could. And I thank God. God led me here. But one thing about Texan, they'll help you if you need help. But don't do the whining thing and the crying and the boo-hooing. No. Texans don't roll like that. That irritates them to no end. Just state the facts, man. No whining. No crybaby stuff. Stop trying to get me to feel sorry for you, because that's not going to work. And by the way, Texas is a introvert's haven. A lot of independent-minded folk out here. And you need to pray hard, think hard, and work hard. And help other people. And if you need some help, they'll give you some help. But no crybaby. No pity parties. Nope. They'll leave you right there in that party by yourself. Take responsibility for your behavior. Take responsibility for your sin. Stop trying to blame your husband. Stop trying to blame your wife. Stop trying to blame your family members. Stop trying to blame the president, the governor, the sheriff, the police. We got people trying to blame the police on everything. Listen, police are trying to get home. Okay? So you need to chill, man. When the police tell you to sit down, I would suggest that you sit your behind down. When the sheriff tells you to shut up and sit down or lie down or whatever, I would suggest you do that. Because they're trying to get home, man, and they're sick and tired of people who don't understand the principle of authority. Always wanted to blame somebody. See, look what you're doing. Got a camera on. I wish they would put a camera on me. And I was a police officer. Look at it. Look at what you're doing. Are there evil police? Yes. But most are not that way. So stop blaming other people. And a lot of it is how you carry yourself. What we saw the other day out in Arizona, now that was inexcusable. As the mayor or the governor said. But be that as it may, my beloved. People choose to get dirty. Now they must choose to be washed and to clean themselves up. With God's help, with God's grace, with God's mercy. Of course, we know that only the Lord can truly cleanse a wicked heart. But when we have sinned, it is our responsibility to show that we are serious about turning from our wicked ways. And by the way, dear friend, just be honest about your wickedness. Stop lying to God, man. God already knows how wicked you are in your heart. The woman you committed adultery with, you have been lusting after her for years. And you finally walked her down. Stop lying. Be honest about your evil, your rebelliousness. Tell God the truth, man. Tell yourself the truth. Admit, God, if you don't help me, I'm not going to be able to get out of this situation. I have this besetting sin. I have this weight. I'm constantly tempted with this, Lord. Deliver me from temptation and evil. Be honest, man. God already knows about it. Stop hiding in the closet, hiding. You think you're hiding from God. God's in the closet with you. He sees everything you're doing. That's why he says, get this evil out from in front of me that you're doing. I don't want to see it again. Some of you think you can hide from God in the black and dark night, in a black and dark closet. God's right there with you. God's right there with you, watching every move you make, everything you do. He knows everything, writing it down. Confess your sins and repent. Stop being a liar. Stop being a hypocrite. Now I'm talking to God's people. Stop trying to be slick. Stop trying to hide from your parents who love you. Stop trying to hide from your friends who love you. Ripping and running and sinning. The lack of repentance among Christians today is painfully apparent. Right here in the great state of Texas, another pastor has bitten the dust. Pastor, doing one of the most heinous, abominable acts known to mankind, and doing it repeatedly, raping his own family member over and over and over again. A girl, underage girl, pastor of a church. How sad. And on and on and on it goes. A Bonner group states the evidence is quite clear that relatively few self-identified Christians are serious about abandoning the lure of sin and handing total control of their life over to God. He said, in fact, only one out of every eight self-identified Christians, 12%, admitted that recognizing and grasping the significance of their sins had been so personally devastating that it caused them to crash emotionally. My God, help us. That's why so many folks are committing suicide. because they don't want to grapple with their sin. They don't want to be honest about their sin. They don't want to face their sin, the evil that they're doing. They're constantly trying to justify it and make it acceptable, living in churches that have already made it acceptable. We turn what used to be a sin into a ministry now in the church. It's an institution. Divorce care. Homosexual outreach ministry. And they got their own little homosexual class. In fact, only about 3% of all self-identified Christians in America have come to the final stops on the transformational journey. Bonner goes on, the places where they have surrendered control of their life to God, submitted to His will for their life, and devoted themselves to loving and serving God and other people. End of quote. My God, help us in the church. And ladies and gentlemen, I have so much more to say to you tonight, written down, but I think that I'll go ahead and close it at that point. Confess your sins. Repent of your sins. Turn from your evil ways. Be real with God. We hear a lot about being real today. Be real with God and be real with others. Tell the truth on yourself. Be transparent and be truly free. Stop trying to masquerade as some super Christian and you're just as corrupt as you can be. And so before we go tonight, dear Christian friends, here's a few takeaways. If you are a Christian listening tonight, here are three things you need to do. Number one, confess your sins. Be honest before God about your sins. And repent of your sin. Stop worrying about somebody else. Yeah, I repent as soon as he repents. No, you take care of yourself. It's me. It's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, but me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my preacher, not the deacon, but me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You already know what your sins are. Your besetting sin. Listen now. We're talking about that one sin, maybe two, in your life that has a hold on you. That besetting sin, that weight, that constant temptation. And then pray, number two, for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent of their sins and get back to their first love. And you get back to your first love. God will help you. That's what Jesus Christ wants you to do. Number three, pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to those who are not saved. I like what Brother Greer with the Southern Baptist Convention, the president, is doing. One, focus on one. You can get one. Pray for one. Reach one. Bring one to church. In the words of Thomas Steele, you can get one if you want one. Pray for souls to be saved and do your part. Go back to what we used to do in the old days. We never came to church back in the old days without somebody else in the car with us. We always had somebody else. We always had one back in the days. Yeah, because when it comes down to going to church, you got to bring folk. They won't come voluntarily oftentimes until they really get into it. Let's stand for prayer. You can get one if you want one. You can get one if you pray for one. You can get one if you witness to one. How about your one? Not the millions. How about the one? How about one? Get one. Let's pray. Holy Father, God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you so much for your holy word tonight. And we pray that as believers in Christ, help us to confess our sins, to repent and to turn from our evil ways in the way that you have prescribed for our good and for your glory as Christians. Lord, we know what we need to repent of. We know our besetting sins and our weights that hold us back. We know that temptation we have every day that by your grace we have to say no to, but we're very weak to. Help us to be honest. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to stop playing and start praying. Help us to be transparent by your grace, humble and broken. And to tell the truth not only about the present sins, but the past sins that we have hidden and covered up and lied about, thinking that they're gone and they're not. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank God that we preach the gospel 4 times a day all around the world, and over 100 countries, I don't know, almost 200 countries now, and in multiple ways. And so wherever you might be tonight, if you are with us and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in the free pardon of your sins, my main calling in life is to be an evangelist. And so naturally my main concern is to see souls saved. But as an evangelist, I have a role in the church as well. And God leads me from time to time deal with issues in the church that he wants me to deal with that most pastors are not inclined to deal with or not led to deal with. It's not what they do. And one of those things is sin in the camp. But you have sin in your life too. You're a sinner like I am. So allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be saved from the power of sin and the punishment of sin forever in hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, his 10 commandments, and I have too. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. Our bodies go to the grave because of sin. Our soul goes to hell. Which leads me to my third point, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. You don't have to do anything else. If you have never trusted Christ as Savior, if you have never believed on Christ, you are on the road to hell right now. And if you don't believe that there is a hell, Jesus did. He preached more about hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he loves us and he wanted to warn us of that awful place and encourage us to believe on him for your soul's salvation from hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a place, Jesus said, of weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's bad enough. But hell is a place that, very sadly, and to me the saddest aspect of hell, there is no limbo, there's no purgatory, as the Catholics say. It's either heaven or hell, it's up or down, it's in or out, it's sink or swim. Once you go to hell, you can't get out. And you can drop off in hell at any time. I almost went to hell myself. That's why I'm so thankful for God saving me when he did at the age of 19. So hell is bad news, dear friend. But I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus Christ gave the good news, the best. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that includes you, no matter what you have done against God and against others, God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart tonight, and he will save you. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. When you die, when you leave this earth. So, dear friend, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day, please pray with me the sinner's prayer and mean it from your heart, believing in Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart tonight. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have stolen before. I have lusted after people and things before. I have taken your holy name in vain and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul tonight. And please forgive me of all of my sins. And save my soul tonight, as I now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. Lord Jesus, I receive you into my heart. Please come into my life and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent. Help me to turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine tonight, wherever you are in the world, If you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com right where you are and read what to do after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.